Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this February 9th. Hope you're having a good week. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Me and my family, we love the Kansas City Chiefs. And so we're cheering them on for three wins in a row. That's going to be fun for us. We have all the Super Bowl food, me and my son Matthew and Carrie and Aria. We just we have a good time with that. We enjoy watching them. I think it all began a long time ago when my son was little, and we would go to the training camp. And these guys would come up and sign autographs for him, and we'd get to watch them practice. This was before they started to win so much, and it was fun. We kind of got connected to the team a little bit there, and so looking forward to Super Bowl Sunday. A couple announcements as we begin, though, today. One is that on February 23rd, that's a Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we are going to have a skating and a play time over at Mahoney State Park Skate. There's a skating area there, and our church is going to cover the cost for the skating and the rentals and stuff. There's also like a place where the kids can play, big indoor playground and that. We're going to be there from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock on that Sunday. And myself and Jessica will be there too, handing out the free tickets when you come. You will have to pay to get into Mahoney State Park just for your vehicle as you drive through the gate. I think it's $7 or something you'll have to pay for the day. But once you're in, then the cost will be covered by the church. And so hopefully you can join us for a fun just time there. If you haven't been on skates in a long time, give it a whirl. See what it's like. But and then also there is a Weekend to Remember from Family Life Today that's going to be happening for marriages. And you can go to get a really wonderful weekend to pour and invest into your marriage. And this is on the weekend of March 14th through 16th, and it's in Omaha. And you can register online, and we have even a code that you can put in for a discount because you're part of our church. And you get $100 off. And so if you're interested in going to this Weekend to Remember, contact me or the church office, or you can also contact Nate and Caitlin Burrish. They have gone to many of these. They're helping to organize this for our church. And so you can talk to them or call me, and I'll get you more information on it. All right, if you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word today. And we're going through the Gospel of Matthew at the start of this year, and it'll take us many months. But we are on Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16 today. And then I'm also going to read for us 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 7, because it also has some good insights into what it means to be salt and light. Okay, it says this, Jesus says this, he's in the Sermon on the Mount. And from Matthew 5, and beginning in verse 13, he says to the people, "You are the salt of the earth. If a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And then jump over real quick to 2 Corinthians 4, and it is 1 to 7, and it says this, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways, and we don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. For the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. But what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for his sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. And we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So today I want to talk deeper about what Jesus really meant when he called his followers the salt of the earth and the light of the world. I remember, maybe you can remember this too, when being a little kid in Sunday school, did you ever learn that song, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." When we become a Christian, when we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, his Spirit comes to live inside of us and help us to live and walk in a new way. We become a new person because of him. We desire to live a life that pleases God and serve him and others. And that love of God and that he gives us lives now in us, and it comes out in the love that we would show to our neighbors and the desire that we would have that they would know the gospel too. That, in a way, what we're saying is that light has been now lit in us. And it comes out in many different ways. It even comes out in just the simple ways that we treat one another at work that may be different from the way that the world does it, or how we care about people in need, you know. And it's the light of Christ. It's been lit in us, lives in our hearts. And we pray would even cause maybe just one other person around us to come to know Jesus too and put their faith in him and be saved. And so I noticed something, though, reading Matthew again. Last week we started the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and it begins with the Beatitudes. We looked at those last week. The blessed are's. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They're going to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They're going to be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God, and blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are the blessed are's. We looked at them last week. Well, Jesus goes straight, this is what I learned, straight from the blessed are's to the now you are's. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. From blessed are to now you are. And I now can see what it means. You, like me, who are humble, poor in spirit, and able to see the truth of God in Jesus Christ because of the goodness and the grace of God that has come to show you your sin and you've turned to him for forgiveness, yours is the kingdom of heaven, he says in the blessed are's. But, he then goes on to say, you also now are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, ready to shine it. You who mourn, you know, who've been through deep sadness and grief yourself, but you have his comfort and peace inside of you. You become now the salt and the light for Jesus, for somebody else who's maybe mourning or walking in sadness and doesn't know there's a hope and a comfort. You become God's way to help somebody else find Jesus. And this really hit me. What we have received from God now becomes our ministry. That is what he is saying. For I realize that Jesus is saying that God first works in my life in certain ways, blesses me with good things of God, not the world stuff, but the spiritual stuff, the eternal stuff, and the ways that he reveals himself to me and the goodness that he has poured out into my life now becomes my calling, the way that he's going to reveal himself to someone else through my life. We go from the blessed are to the now you are. As the Lord picks up and he heals the broken pieces of our lives and he forgives our sins and he daily walks with us and by his grace we've got him, we become now that same thing to someone else. This is how God works. We are the salt and the light he uses to save another. And it's not us. This is something so important for all of us to realize. We don't go out and just try harder to be salt and light. No, I am not the light. Jesus is the light of the world, but he lives inside of me. And the things that he has done for me and that good work and the truth that he has made known to me now becomes a light for somebody else. I am not the salt. I am not naturally good or think of doing good things, but God is good and he lives in me. And by his Spirit, he moves me towards goodness. And the goodness, any goodness you see in me is just the change that he has been doing in my life. It's all him. And so if he can do that in me, he can do that in someone else. And you see, so this is how it spreads. You see, salt and light is not just another thing that we're commanded to go out and try to do in our own strength. Jesus didn't say, go out and be salt, go out and be light. He said, you are the salt, you are the light. Your life is going to be a reflection of me and what I can do. I wanted to read the scripture from 2 Corinthians also here for us, because it says it was God who said, let light shine out of darkness, and has now made his light shine in our hearts. It was God who made you who you are and helped you through. He did it. He is the light and the salvation. He takes us from the blessed ours to the you ours. He not only saves me, but then he uses my life and my story, even my struggles, for his purposes to help somebody else. And so all I'm commanded in these scriptures to do is not hide and not become proud or take credit for really what God has done in my life, but keep letting him shine in me and be the change in me. And this is important that we do not separate these two things, the Beatitudes, from the salt and the light, for they are one idea. They belong together. The way the Lord has worked in my life, blessed my life, saved my life, becomes the unique way that he is going to shine through my life. The way he is calling me to follow him and live for him is the way that he is going to change my neighborhood and world and help others see the truth of him. They are connected. What he has done in me, he now wants to do through me to someone else. The Beatitudes are tied to salt and light. It is his work in me that is revealed. I love how 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Our life is compared to a common clay jar in this verse. He is the treasure, really, that lives within us. And that phrase, we translate jars of clay, is literally vessels made of clay. And in Bible times, this phrase, vessels of clay, was most commonly used to refer to an oil lamp, what I have right here. Lamps back in Jesus's day were these small vessels made of clay. Every house had dozens of these. This is how a home got light in the ancient world, just a simple vessel made of clay. But inside, you would fill your lamp with oil, and the wick would come out of the side. And in each room, I noticed this on my trips over there, built into those stone walls of those old houses, there would be a couple stones sticking a little bit further out. And these were where you would put your oil lamps. And you would light them. This was the stand referred to by Jesus. Put your light on the stand. And it gives off a surprising amount of light. You wouldn't think of it, just these little things, but filled with oil in that wick, in that room, in that stone room, gives off a surprising amount of light. These simple vessels made of clay. This is what Jesus is saying we are. And oil is often the image of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And so it's a perfect connection, because when Christ comes into our life, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that oil. And the Lord lights up our life. He touches our lives with his love and salvation in unique and particular ways for us. And our life suddenly now becomes a witness for him. We become the way that others can see the truth of God and his goodness. Now, if you would allow me to go even deeper for just a second, The image of light in the Bible is everywhere. I mean, it would be interesting if you had time and you wanted to do a word study in the Bible, do it on light and see how many times that word comes up throughout scriptures. But the first time we see the word light in the Bible is in the very first chapter, in the very first thing that God created. He said, "Let there be light." Before that, we're told the world was empty and void. So is our life before Christ. It is empty and void. And then he shines the truth and life begins in us. I think also about Psalm 119, where it says, "God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The word of God, the scriptures, they show us the way, but more important, they impart life to us, right? That light, that truth gives our life meaning and purpose and hope and the promises of God and the reminders of his faithfulness. His word is light and his word is life to us. The more I'm in it, it's kind of like a plant, you know, it needs water and sunlight to grow and to live. So too, my life needs Christ and his word to really grow and to live. And so that light is spoken of as his word even. Another interesting example of that word light in the Bible is the Hebrew word Torah. Torah is God's law, what they've called the first five books of the Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy. But the word Torah is the exact same word in Hebrew for light. And it's interesting, maybe only to me and not to anybody else, but that the law, the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, that Torah, it was written and it was put on two tablets of stone, we're told. And the Bible says they put these two stone tablets in a box called the Ark of the Covenant, a golden chest where the people carried them around wherever they went in through the wilderness. Well, the Bible says when Jesus came, God's son, he fulfilled the law. He was the word made into flesh. In 1 John 1, it says in him was life and that life was the light of all mankind. It says he was the true light that gives light to everyone. It was like Jesus is the Torah in person. God's greater, more perfect revelation of himself. Christ, God's law, God's word, now made into flesh. And then they get this, instead of written on tablets of stone, like in the Old Testament there, the Bible says he now writes that word on our hearts. And so this is a weird connection maybe, but the tablets of stone in the Old Testament were carried around in a golden chest. Now we, common clay jars, carry around in us, in our lives, in our homes, in our everyday situations, we carry around in us the Torah, the light that was once in a box, but now in Christ is forever written on the hearts of his people. Everywhere we go, he goes. He lights us up, shining in, puts us in all the dark places of this world, that others might see who God is, what God cares about, who he made us, and what he has done. All of it he does in you. And so when Jesus says, "You're the light of the world," see, it carries all of this context. And it's how the blessed are now becomes the you are. What he does in you now begins to shine through you to someone else. A couple thoughts and applications on this for us today. The first is that we're called salt as well as light. I don't want to skip over that. Why salt? Why does he mention this? What is the salt of the earth? What did Jesus really mean? Well, today we know salt as the stuff that makes McDonald's fries taste so good. Salt for us is a common thing in our kitchen tables and mostly used as a seasoning to bring out flavor. And maybe there's something to that, something Jesus meant for us to hear in that, that the Lord would want to use our life to add to wherever we are, to be the one who brings out the best, who sees the good and brings out the best in others and in life, that adds something to our marriages, that adds to our workplaces as a good worker and a good character. God sprinkles his people all over this world to shower it with goodness and love and help others see the beautiful things of life and what he has done and what he has made. I have known some really wonderful Christians over the years. And just a little bit of time with them, I just leave happier. I just leave filled with more hope and more faith being around them. I feel better about things in my life. You know, they rub off on me. I have more laughter. Their presence in church or in a meeting or in a group just adds to that group. Their attitude affects positively the attitudes of others. Their heart can bring out joy in the neighborhood, and people out there all working to help a neighbor come together and go through a difficult thing. They're salt, right? I just imagine, what if our church could be more like salt in our neighborhood? How that might draw people to the Lord and desire Him more. Our goodness, the goodness of what He's doing in our life and where He's calling us to be, the love that we are called. Our presence, hopefully, is like salt to bland fries. I pray that people would experience and taste and see some of the goodness and the love of the Lord through our lives, you know. I think of Colossians 4, 5, and 6, where it says, "Be wise in the ways that you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations always be full of grace and seasoned with salt." Maybe the Lord had something of this in mind when He called us the salt of the earth. But I think what Jesus mostly meant by salt was how salt was used and needed in His day. More than just as a seasoning, salt was also critical to life. It kept food from spoiling. For they didn't have refrigerators back then. Food would spoil quickly, so salt was used to preserve fish and meat for longer than 2 days. You would pack your food in salt, and it would keep. A number of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. They would have packed their fish in salt to go to the market. Salt for them wasn't just something that made it taste better. It was crucial for survival. Jesus definitely adds to our life. But Jesus is also critical to our survival and our eternity. He wasn't just a good teacher with good ideas. He is our Savior and the Savior of the whole world. He is God's answer to sin and death and evil. His word brings life. His death brought life. His resurrection brings eternal life to us. Jesus is what we cannot live without. Jesus is crucial to our kids and who they become, and to our neighbors to help them find salvation and teach them who they are and how we're to live by faith and obedience. Without Christ, we quickly decay. And so does our world. We fall further away into selfishness and oppression, immoralities and sin, and we rot. So as a believer and a church, we must be like salt and add joy and hope and good things to our world, but also be like salt in preserving all that is true and good and holy, standing up for what is right, continuing to hold out the word of God plainly, preaching the truth of God's word first to ourselves and then to others that might turn from sin and towards salvation. At times, salt in this world means going where Jesus would go and standing up for whom Jesus would stand up for, so that oppression and evil would not run rampant would not overcome the good, but that good would prevail. I have told some of you this powerful story before about World War II, but there was a Bulgarian priest during World War II named Metropolitan Carroll, and he was a towering man, big white beard like those Orthodox priests have, and he's dressed from head to toe in that black robe and hat, you know, you've seen. Well, he and his 300-person congregation of got word that the Nazis had entered his town there in Bulgaria, and they were rounding up Jews, his neighbors, to take them off to concentration camps. This was back in 1941. And so Metropolitan Carroll, he led his congregation down to the train station. They all marched down there together, and the Nazi soldiers were there. They had taken 8,500 Jews out of their homes and had many of them already put into boxcars. But this group of only 300 church people stood up to those Nazis and would not let this happen. To this injustice and evil, they were going to be salt. It is reported that Metropolitan Carroll pushed the soldiers' guns aside and he stood next to those boxcars and he spoke in his booming voice to those boxcars full of Jews scared inside. And he quoted, it is said, from the Bible, a verse from the Old Testament book of Ruth, where Ruth says, "Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." And in that moment, it's reported that the Christians began to cheer and the Jews began to cheer. And then he and his congregation, 300, went and stood in front of that train. True story. And the train never left the station. And the Jews were released that day. And Bulgaria was the only occupied country where not one Jew was taken to a concentration camp. You are the salt of the earth. When we live for Christ and for what is good and right and holy in this world, evil is overcome. When we remember He is the way and we walk in His way with His Spirit, a new power is revealed in us, His. When we trust Him and go by faith, when we dare to love and to stand up to evil, when we dare to proclaim Jesus is Lord, we are holding back this wave of secular culture and we're keeping sacred what He calls sacred. Don't let the world silence you or cause you to fear proclaiming the name that is above every name. Go as Peter did before the Sanhedrin. He is with you. Go as Paul did and preach Christ crucified. Even if they beat you, reject you, or put you into prison, watch Him open the doors. You are the salt of the earth. You are the resistance to an evil that would desire to overtake us. Let us not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? Jesus says, what makes us different is what makes us salt and powerful. He is the change agent in us. He is the love that is greater than life. Remove Jesus or begin preaching a different gospel, and the power is suddenly gone. It is Jesus in us that is the hope for this world. He alone has the power to turn a group of ordinary people into the salt of the earth who have the power to stop a train. And then the last thing I want to mention from our scripture is that we're to be light and salt where He has placed us. And this is important. It would be understandable that when this world gets crazy or we see bad things happening all around us, it's understandable that we would want to pull away from the world and hide away in our homes and churches and protect our kids from the influence of the big bad world and just hang out with our Christian friends and just go to our Christian businesses and do our Christian things and shelter away in our churches. And we can all understand why we would want to do that. But this is just not what the Lord has called us to do. We are to be salt and light in places where there's rotting fish and darkness. This is our calling. We might not want to. It might scare us to be Christians out in the world, but that is exactly where we're supposed to be for Him, out in the world. We must continue to meet together in here for worship and prayer, to read our scriptures and to encourage one another. We're going to need that to be strong out there. But let us not forget to leave this place and to go out there, to live out there, to serve out there. For that is the mission field. The mission field is not just someplace far away in another country. We live in one every day. We must not remove ourselves from the world. We're needed in the world. Jesus left heaven and came to earth because He was needed in this world. He loved this world. And even though it would crucify Him, He came to give His life for it, that we might be saved. And the Lord wishes that none would perish, but all to come to repentance. He has called us now to be the light, to spread His word, to share His gospel, to love the unlovable that like He has loved us, to take care of orphans and widows in their distress. We must be in the world, This is where he wants us. Jesus prayed in John 17:15, "My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I'm not. So sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. But as you have sent me into the world, I now have sent them into the world," Jesus said. I've sent them. You know, we try so hard to get people to come into church, but we also need to get Christians to get out into the world. We need Christian teachers at school and doctors and factory workers and people in sports and government and in all places of society. We need Christian police officers and entertainers changing those places for good. We need Christian construction workers and bus drivers and accountants and lawyers and janitors and whatever, wherever the people are. The Lord is going to send you. He will send you where you are to be for him. You're going to need prayer and his word not to conform, but to stand strong for him and to love them. The people he may ask you to start with, though, might be right across the street, your neighbors. Just go say hello and have them over for dinner sometime. You don't have to preach, especially not right away. Just be a part of their life. Just let them see Christ at work in you. Begin to pray for them. See them as the mission field. There are people that I come in contact with that you don't, and people you can talk to that I can't. God calls all of us. I think of 1 Peter 2:9-12, where it says, "You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, all of you, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I urge you to abstain from sinful desires that war against your soul and live such good lives in the world that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they might see your good deeds and come to praise God our Father in heaven." Every day and every one of us is called to live out there for him, because Jesus lived out there. And he did not light a lamp in you only for you to hide it under a bowl. Instead, he put you on a stand so that you could give light to everyone in the house, everyone in your little circle, everyone who knows you as their friend or coworker or classmate. He put you in that office. He put you in that school or with those particular friends because those friends need Jesus. Jesus has placed you exactly where he wants you to be for him. You might be looking everywhere else except where you are. Just start where you are, at school, in the nursing home, or your sports team, in your job, with your family. Start there. Just begin to notice the people you come in contact with every day, the people of your life. Start praying for them. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't rush. Don't worry. He'll do it in you. Just begin by praying for them and just stop hiding. Don't be different around them than you are in here around your church friends. Be the same person. If you would share something good about God in here, then share it out there too. Let the world begin to see Jesus in you. You are the salt and the light of Christ. You don't got to go somewhere else. Just be where you are. It's where he wants you to be. Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.